testing the Breeze Translate. As you have your Bibles, do turn to Revelation chapter 2. If someone could shout out a page number. For Revelation chapter 2. One, two, three, four. Lovely. Page 1234. We're going to turn there in a minute. And before we do, we're going to spend some time in prayer. We're going to pray for various things in the church family. Could you just turn me down a touch, Christo? It's just a bit echoey. Thank you. We're going to pray for various things in the church family, including Julia. Julia is in hospital at the moment. She's in A&E. Under some observations, and if you're able to go and visit Julia in A&E this afternoon, then she'd really value that. She's been there for quite some time and feeling quite lonely, so if you can go and see Julia today, please do so. We're going to pray for her. I'm also going to pray for various other partner churches and things in the world too, so let's bow our heads together and let's pray. The Lord my God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner, giving him food and clothing. Our Lord God, God of gods, Lord of lords, we worship you because you are mighty and awesome. You are a God who has unlimited power. We are aware of the limits of our own abilities. We are aware of so much that we would love to be able to change or control, but we can't. And yet you are a God who is so unlike us. There is nothing that you cannot do. You reign supreme over every atom in the universe, seen or unseen. You are the God who rescued your people out of Israel, as Gio has been reading in Exodus. We praise you that you are the God who showed your power over Pharaoh and the so-called false gods of the Egyptians. Thank you that you're a God who rescued them through the Red Sea and eventually into the promised land, that you saved them, that they might have a relationship with you. Thank you that you're a kind and a good God. And Lord, we're sorry for the times that we have not honored you as the Lord of lords and the God of gods, where we have treated you as if you are not mighty and awesome. We're sorry for where we've lived in ways that are selfish and that we have shown partiality and favoritism, where we have been dishonest. We're sorry for the times where we have failed to do what is right and good for those who are in need. You're a God who always cares for those in need. Please would we be like you. We're sorry for our selfishness. We're sorry for our idol worship, where we have considered other things as more mighty and awesome and great than you. As we come to you this morning, we take this moment to bow our hearts and our lives afresh to you and say, you are Lord of lords, God of gods. Our Father, we pray for our mission partners. We thank you so much for Nick and Tamsin and their work, particularly amongst Turkish-speaking people here in North London. Please would you help Nick as he is down in Devon preaching at a church there today. Give him your words to say. Would he be faithful in speaking your truth? Help him and Tamsin in all of the relationships they have in this community to make the most of them, to be able to speak Jesus into so many people's lives. And please would you do a work of revival amongst a group of people among whom there are so few Christians here in the UK or in Turkey. But we pray also for Enfield Town Community Church. We thank you for them. We thank you for the Explore Night that they had last night. We thank you for helping those involved, and we ask that there would be fruit as a result of the outreach that they're seeking to do. Lord, please would you provide for them financially as a church, as they've got a big deficit at the moment. Please would you raise up people who will give sacrificially and servant-heartedly. Please would you raise up people who will serve in the life of church, raise up leaders there for that church family. We thank you for their generosity over so many years to so many churches and so many people. And we ask, Lord, that you would please be generous to them. Father, we pray for ourselves. We were thinking last week how healthy churches need healthy leaders. And so we pray that in your kindness you would raise up men and women who can grow in godliness here at Silver Street. Please would we each be transformed by the truth as we meet with Jesus and learn from you on a regular basis. Please would you raise up leaders for the church here. A diverse set of leaders reflecting the diverse community that we're in and therefore able to serve and care well for a diverse church family. Please would you provide. We thank you, Father, that our times are in your hands. Thank you for protecting Rob and Jolie and Seb after a really nasty car crash a couple of days ago. We thank you that they are not severely injured. We thank you for protecting them, and we pray that you'd bring peace after such a shaking experience. Bring them safely home soon. We pray for Emmanuel. Please would you help him in this transition from Avesbury House. Thank you so much for getting him to this stage and being able to rejoice with him on this. Help him, please, to fix his eyes on Jesus and keep surrounding himself with those who will help him to keep walking with Jesus. We pray for Peter and Trudia, very unwell in hospital. We ask, Lord, that they would know you to be their shepherd, even through dark valleys. We pray for Julia, that she too would know your joy and your peace and the love of your people. Help us to be able to express our family love to her by visiting, by encouraging, by phoning, by messaging. Please would she not be lonely. We pray for Caroline with an important appointment tomorrow. Please would you give doctors and nurses wisdom in knowing how best to help her. We pray for those in our church family who are drifting from you. Please would you draw them back with your beauty. We pray for those amongst us who seem to be close to the kingdom. Please would you open their eyes to understand your grace. Would you bring them from darkness to light? And Lord, we pray for our world. Again, we want to thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And yet you're a humble and sacrificial God. Thank you that you still reign. And that one day you're bringing about your kingdom. And we ask that you please help Christians across the world to engage with politics in a way that is honouring to King Jesus. Please would there be settled, sustained peace in Israel and Gaza. And we ask that you, the Prince of Peace, would bring peace to those in other conflicts, whether they are in our headlines or not. And please enable our mission partners and local Christians across the world to live for you, the Lord of Lords, and to make you known, the God of Gods. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to turn to Revelation 2 in a moment, but we're going to sing before we do. So again, the band will lead us. Do join me in standing and singing God's praises.
Songs of God's abundant treasure. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering far away from God, and to rescue me from danger, shed for me his precious blood. Through God's grace I am his debtor, daily I this thought renew. Let that grace, Lord, like a fetter, bond my wandering heart to you. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to take the God I love. Take my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it from your courts above.
Please do take a seat. Unless you're Pratheep, in which case I'll ask you to get up off your seat and come and join me here. Pratheep is going to read the scriptures for us. It's Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. That's correct, isn't it, Mark? Fantastic. But before you do, this is Pratheep's last Sunday with us. We did give you some warning a couple of weeks ago when Ajani, your wife, left to go back to Canada. And you're all of the microphones. You'll be joining her in the next few days. Tell us how we can pray for you over the next little while.
I think we're just in a period of transition and a little bit of unknowingness, I guess, just because we'll be going to a new city, new country, possibly with a new baby. So, or not possibly, but eventually with a new baby. So just prayers for strength, perseverance through that. Especially because there's a lot of, I guess, unknowns, and I guess, yeah, that's about it.
Great. Well, thank you so much for playing for us today and for reading God's word. Let me pray for you on those things before you do so. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for Pratheep and Ajani, and we thank you for the unborn little one growing inside Ajani. We pray, Father, that you would please keep all three of them safe. Please would you help them to adjust with so many changes, as Pratheep has just said. There are many things that need to be sorted out. We ask that you would be the provider. And we ask that through this kind of time of transition, you would help them to keep walking closely with you. Would they be learning from the Lord each day themselves, encouraging one another in the ways of the Lord? And we ask, Lord, that in the busyness and hecticness of everything that lies ahead, they would be growing in their love for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the chance that we have to read it now. We ask that you teach us as we read and also as Mark speaks. Open his mouth to speak words that are from you and open our hearts to receive them as such. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, so it's page 1234. I'll give you a couple of seconds to turn to it. So reading from Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate the wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be the apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things that you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to the one who is victorious. I'll give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in paradise of God.
My name's Mark. I'm one of the members of the church here. It's my privilege to be preaching on that passage that Pratheep just read from you. To you from Revelation chapter 2. So Pratheep mentioned going back to Canada and then to the US and asked us to pray for perseverance. And then you read Revelation 2 for us. And I don't know whether you noticed, Revelation 2 is all about persevering. And in fact, if you read right the way through Revelation, you'll see that Revelation is a book that is teaching us to persevere. So great that you were able to read that for us as you've been asking us to pray for your perseverance. So Revelation, a book about perseverance, a book that is teaching us and telling us to keep trusting Jesus. Keep trusting Jesus, keep walking in his ways until he takes you to be with him. And Revelation tells us that if we are on Jesus' team, so that means if we're trusting him, we should keep going and we shouldn't give up. It tells us that Jesus wins at the end. And that when Jesus wins, he's going to reward all of those who are his, all of those who have trusted in him. When that happens at the end, if we're trusting in him, we're going to live with him in this most amazing, this most wonderful place. We're going to be in a new home with Jesus, in a place where there isn't anything that makes us sad anymore. Nothing is going to spoil that place where we will one day live with Jesus if we're his, if we're trusting in him. Isn't that wonderful? And so today we're going to take just a small part of that book of Revelation, just those seven verses that we looked at, and we're going to look at them together. They form a letter that Jesus wrote to a church. So Jesus, as Luke mentioned earlier, Jesus has previously died, and then he's risen, and now he's gone back to heaven, where he is at the Father's right-hand side. And yet, he's still able to write a letter to this church at Ephesus. Now, just imagine how excited we would be this morning if I was stood here opening a letter from Jesus to us. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be so exciting? But we can also be excited this morning as we read this letter to the church at Ephesus. Because although it's addressed to that church, it's a letter that's still telling us things that we need to hear today. Things we need to hear and know and understand and learn from. Well, we could summarize this letter in this little phrase: perseverance brings great reward, but only with love. Let me say that for you again. Perseverance brings great reward, but only with love. Well, this letter is the first of seven letters that we find near the beginning of the book of Revelation, each one written to a different church, but all of them written to that church telling them, persevere, keep going. And so Jesus is saying to us this morning, persevere, keep going. And he's also telling us to overcome and that he will reward his people when we do. Jesus is telling us to persevere triumphantly, victoriously. Now, I want us to imagine this morning, imagine that we are on a football team and we're playing in this really tough match. Now, Jesus isn't telling us from the sidelines, keep on running to the final whistle. Sometimes we would hear that as kids playing sport, just keep on running. Jesus isn't just telling us, keep on running. He's saying, keep on playing well. Don't let the opposition get the upper hand. Live well for me, even when it's difficult and it feels hard to keep going. But there's a big problem for this church in Ephesus. And we see that in the letter, don't we? The church has lost its first love for Jesus. And so the message to them this morning is, as I've already said, perseverance brings great reward, but only with love. Now, I'm going to see if you're listening or can read the screen. Let's say that together.
Perseverance brings great reward, but only with love. Well, let's look then at the first verse in this letter. Can you see there what it says? To the angel of the church in Ephesus. Now, I'm sorry if you're not a football fan. I'm going to keep going with my analogy, my example of a football team. Jesus wants this team in Ephesus to persevere, to keep playing and to keep playing well until the final whistle. And like the owner of a football team, he wants his team to do well. And so he's got this first team coach there to help them. And we can see here he's giving instructions to the angel or to this coach so that the coach can help the team do what the owner wants them to do. And so although Jesus addresses this letter, as we can see, to the angel of the church, it's a letter telling the church what it's doing well. But it's also encouraging its members to persevere, and it's telling them where there's a significant change that they need to make. They need to repent about something, and we're going to see what that is in a minute. And so Jesus tells the church that he's appointed this angel to watch over how they're doing. They shouldn't think that what they do as they go about their lives goes unnoticed. And Jesus is also saying to the angel of the church here, who has a particular duty of care for this church, watch over them. See how they're doing. See that they put into practice the things that I'm telling them they need to do. But it's important also to know that Jesus isn't just getting second-hand reports. He's not gone back to heaven, not really sure what's happening, so he's got an angel there to report back to him. Jesus can see what's happening in the church. Look with me, if you would, at verse 2. Verse 2 says this. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles, but are not, and you found them to be false. And so what Jesus is telling the church is that he sees everything and he knows everything. In that verse, he says twice, I know, I know. He knows the good things they're doing and he knows where they're falling short. And Jesus knows that about us too, about you and me. And so, don't know if I can flick on one. There we go. So Jesus tells the church to repent. And when he tells the church to repent, he isn't having to second guess how they're doing. He sees for himself what is going on. In verse 5, he says to the church, repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Jesus has some good things to say to this church in Ephesus, and we're going to look at those in a minute. But we must clock, we must see this command to repent. And we must also note that when Jesus commands them to repent, it comes with a warning. If you don't repent, I, Jesus, will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. What Jesus is saying here is that if you don't repent, you won't be a church anymore. Now, we might think that meeting here on a Sunday morning, as we're doing now, is what matters. Maybe we even think it's the only thing that matters. But Jesus tells us something different. Jesus commands us to be faithful and obedient to him in everything that he's told us to do. And he says we're only a church if he is among us. And Jesus won't be among us if we're not going his way. If we go our own way, Jesus won't be among us. Well, we can be so thankful, can't we, for all the ways we see that Jesus is blessing us at the moment. We see so many things. We see visitors here most weeks, which is so exciting. We've seen new members joining the church. We're praying, aren't we, together, that we'll see more baptisms this year as God continues to work among us. We see wonderful examples of the way that we care for one another and we show love to each other in practical ways. But the warning of verse 5 is that if we don't persevere in faithful obedience to God, if we don't carry on doing the things he's called us to do, that we'll stop being a church in Jesus' eyes. Isn't that a really stark warning for us to hear this morning? But also an encouragement for us to keep going, that Jesus will be among us, working for his glory. So what is it that Jesus wants us to do? We see in verses 2 and 3, the things that Jesus commends the church for. The things that Jesus says, you're doing this really well. What does he say? I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, and that you've tested those who claim to be apostles, but are not. And you've found them to be false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Well, I think we can summarize that as these three things. Do good deeds, discern what's right, and don't give up. Three D's, if you like, things that start with the same letter. Do good deeds, discern what's right, and don't give up. Jesus says, and we can see that in the verse, I know your deeds, your hard work. Jesus sees the church's good deeds here as well. Nothing is missed by Jesus. Jesus sees Friday Cafe. Jesus sees English classes. Jesus sees Grace Advocacy. Jesus sees the good things that go on behind the scenes that maybe nobody else even sees and knows about. Jesus sees when you go and visit that old person in their home who can't get out anymore. Maybe nobody else knows you do it. But Jesus doesn't miss it. Jesus sees it. Jesus sees all the ways that we're caring for one another. So when Jesus says, I know your deeds and your hard work, is that something that he's setting as a gold star for just a few of us? Is that just the spiritually elite in the church, just for them? Well, I don't think so. Do you remember Jesus had previously said, seek first the kingdom of heaven? When Jesus said that, he's wanting all of us to place a high priority on the things that we do for him, things in the church, things in the community. Now, all of us are in different circumstances, aren't we? We'll all find different opportunities to serve him. And we all have different responsibilities in the home, or in the workplace, with family, with elderly relatives maybe. There are different things that make our opportunities to serve him different to each other. But within the boundaries of what's possible for you, for me, in our personal circumstances, don't we all want to hear one day Jesus say to us, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance? What will Jesus say one day to you about your good deeds? What will he say to me one day about mine? Well, that's do good deeds. Jesus then says, discern what's right. Now that means for all of us, we need to work out what is the true gospel and what is the false gospel. What does Jesus say? And what might some people think he says that he doesn't say? Please keep your Bibles open and look down again with me at verse 2. Can you see what Jesus says to the church? I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. Jesus knows that this church in Ephesus hasn't taken everything at face value, but they've tested the things that they've seen and heard. They've seen the practices and the doctrines that other people have urged them to accept, and they've worked out what's true and what is to be rejected. Later on in this letter, Jesus says that this church hates the practices of the Nicolaitans. That's a group of people who claimed that they were Christians but taught a false gospel. We can hear all sorts of things, can't we, that we might be tempted to believe. But Jesus wants us to be wise. Jesus wants us to only believe the things that are true. So when we hear preachers say things like this, come to Jesus and everything in your life will be fantastic. Your family relationships will be great. You'll have money in the bank. You'll have a nice car. All you need to do is just believe in Jesus and you'll be healthy and everything will be great. Do you hear things like that sometimes? When we hear things like that, we need to ask ourselves the question, is that what the Bible says? And because that isn't what the Bible says, we should reject that as a false gospel. So if you listen to preachers like Benny Hinn or Joel Osteen, please stop. Jesus says that he hates false teachers. And so we shouldn't allow our own thinking to be shaped by people who teach something that isn't true. Jesus tells us, discern what's right. Understand what's right. And if you're listening to other preachers and you think, I'm not sure if that's right or not, then come and chat to Luke or Patrick or Jonathan and say, I'm hearing this. Is that right? Jesus wants us to be wise and to show discernment. And sometimes we need help with that. So get help to understand what the things that are healthy inputs to our lives. The third D that we're called to follow here. Don't give up. Persevere. Keep going. Can you see that there in verse 3? Again, look down in your Bible so you can see for yourselves. Jesus says, you have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. I wonder, when did you start following Jesus? Was it a long time ago? Or was it fairly recently? Whenever it was that you started following Jesus, he wants you to keep going and not give up. No matter what the circumstances are in your life, no matter whether things are easy or things are difficult, if you're facing trials or not, Jesus wants all of us, if we're his, to keep going and to keep following him. Jesus wants there to be fruit in our lives as we're obedient to him. Now, no doubt, if you're a Christian, in your life, there'll have been times when it has been really hard to keep going. And there have been other times when you felt on fire for him, when you just can't wait to open your Bible in the morning, you just can't wait to pray. However it is that we're feeling, the encouragement here is to keep going. And when you face temptations, maybe temptations to stop coming to church, to stop reading your Bible, to stop praying, hear this encouragement of Jesus. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't stop following me. We're going to see in a minute that perseverance brings great reward. But just think back to that example of the football team There's the owner, Jesus. He's on the sideline and he's calling out to the team, keep playing well. Keep trusting me. Jesus wants to reward us and he says that he's going to reward us at the end of the match. But wonderfully, we know, don't we, that Jesus has already won the victory. Jesus has already won the victory for us if we're trusting in him. So I wonder, are you going through tough times at the moment? As I look out, I know that some of you will be. And I want to say to you, if you are, hang on in there. Talk to your brothers and sisters here. There are people who will come alongside you and help you in those struggles. Some of us will have been through the same things, maybe. And some of us won't have been through the same things you're going through. But if we have that shared love for Jesus, we want to come alongside one another and help each other to keep going. So let me encourage you today, if you are facing trials, don't keep them to yourself. Come and share with a brother or a sister what it is that you're going through so that we can help and encourage each other. And so that one day we all will hear those words of Jesus. You have persevered and endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. We can't win by ourselves, but Jesus has already won the victory when he died and rose again. Jesus is the victor. And if we're on his team, when Jesus wins, we win. Well, so far, so good. We know that Jesus wants us to persevere and that he calls us to do the things that please him. He calls us to keep going. He calls us to discern what is good teaching and what is false teaching. Is that it? Is that what we're called to? Just do those things and that's enough. Well, that's one of the reasons why this letter to the church at Ephesus is so helpful. It's teaching us, isn't it, that those are the things we need to do, but we need to do them with a love for Jesus. We need to make sure that we don't let our love for him grow cold. Jesus says to this church here, if you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Look in verse 4 at why that is. You have forsaken the love you had at first. In other words, we could be a church that on the outside looks absolutely fantastic. We could be a church that looks like we love one another so well. And there's all sorts of good things that we're doing in the community. But we need to stop and ask ourselves that further question. What is our love for the Lord like? What is our love for Jesus like? How's your love for Jesus today? Do you love him the way you once did? Or has your love grown a bit cold? Do you know, I read a verse like that and I ask myself that same question. Do I love Jesus like I once did? And I have to say that my love for Jesus doesn't have that same heat that it once did. And if you're sitting there saying that the same thing. I know I've known times when I've loved Jesus more. Then you and me both, we should do something about that. We should definitely make it a focus of our prayers. But can I say as well, why not talk to somebody else, another Christian, about that? Consider how far you have fallen, Jesus says. Repent and do the things you did at first. A church that isn't full of people who are deeply in love with Jesus isn't a church at all. Because Jesus has removed its lampstand. It's no longer the body that shines Jesus' light out into the world. It's so important, isn't it, that we carry on loving Jesus and growing in our love for him, to love him more and more, the one who has loved us so much that he was willing to die in our place. And it's important as well that we love each other too. Jesus commanded it. Jesus wants us to be excited about the fact that we're here this morning, because we want to be with those that we love, our brothers and sisters. So, if this morning you're saying, I'm not sure I love Jesus the way I did, I'm not sure I love my brothers and sisters here the way I want to, let me ask you now, just quietly in your head, just to make a commitment to yourself that you're going to talk to somebody about that. Maybe talk to somebody about it over lunch today, if you're seeing somebody for lunch, or maybe later on in the week. But don't just park it and think, it'll be all right in the end. It's important. It's important that we grow in our love for Jesus. Well, we're going to finish this letter with the promise of great reward for those who persevere. Perseverance in deeds and discernment, when it's done with a love for Jesus that continues to burn brightly, brings great reward. Can you look down again into your Bibles at verse 7, where Jesus says, to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. When we get to the end of Revelation, we find there the picture of God dwelling with his people in this wonderful new world, a paradise. There's a beautiful garden there. There's this river running through it. And in this garden is the tree of life. And this river, it starts from the throne of God and it flows down the middle of the great street in the city. The water is as clear as crystal. And it's described as the water of life. Do you want to be with Jesus in this wonderful place? Do you want to enjoy the paradise of God? We can't earn that right by ourselves, but Jesus has paid the price for our sins when he died on the cross. He took the punishment that we deserve, so that we can be with him in this wonderful place for all eternity. We often hear, don't we, of how we need to trust in the finished work of Jesus to receive this gift, and how we can't earn it for ourselves. And you know, that is true. If we haven't yet trusted in Jesus, we need to do it. If you haven't yet trusted in Jesus, let me urge you today to seek Jesus as your Saviour, to find in him the forgiveness that he offers. He is the only hope that we can have, and the greatest gift that any of us can receive is the gift of faith in Jesus, so that we become his. But these verses we've read, and in fact the whole of Revelation, tell us that a genuine faith in Jesus, a real faith in Jesus, isn't something that you do once and then it's done. You can forget about it. I did that 5 years ago. I became a Christian. Real faith in Jesus keeps going. Real faith in Jesus produces a change in us. It makes us more and more like Jesus as we carry on with him. Real faith perseveres through hard times as well as good times. And so Revelation 22 goes on to say that the right to eat of this tree of life is given to those who have had their sins dealt with by Jesus. He's washed us and made us clean. Only faith in Jesus will do that. Only confessing to him that we haven't lived the way that we should have done and asking him for forgiveness. And then with his help, living victoriously for him brings the answer that we need. And so to all of you today, and to myself as well, I want us to give serious consideration as to what is needed to be in the paradise of God. What do we need to do to eat from that tree of life? I want us to see that, as verse 7 tells us, it's possible to have ears and not hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. It's possible this morning for us to shut our ears to what the Spirit says to us. To think that we're fine and we can just carry on as we are, that nothing needs to change. And that's a real danger for us, whether we're Christians or not. If you're not yet trusting Jesus, today is the day to do something about that. And if you are trusting Jesus, if you are one of his, if you're a Christian, let me encourage you with this. Perseverance brings great reward, but only with love. Let's do all we can to do good deeds and to discern what's right, but let's do it with a real love for Jesus. And if today you know that you need help to do that better, make that commitment in your mind that before today is over, you'll have spoken to somebody about that. Commit in your mind that you are going to spend time praying about that. And as you go through this week, open up your Bible every day and look at those glimpses that it gives us of Jesus. Look and see how lovely he is. Jesus is so lovely. Jesus is so wonderful. Are you seeing that in your readings each day? Are you experiencing just how wonderful he is? You know, this encouragement comes to persevere, but when we look at Jesus, we see that Jesus persevered. Jesus persevered and endured the cross to deal with our sins and bring us into a love relationship with him and with his Father if we're trusting in him. And if we're doing that, he calls us to keep playing well and not give up. And he's the one who makes that possible. And so remember, perseverance brings great reward, but only with love. So today and throughout this week, let's grow to love him much, much more all over again. Amen. We're going to have just a couple of minutes just quiet for us just to think about that and what our own response needs to be. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this letter to the church at Ephesus. Thank you that you see all the good deeds that they did. You saw their perseverance. Thank you that you're the one who is watching over us too. All the things that we do and say and feel, you know those. Lord Jesus, may we grow in our love for you. May we have a real appreciation for what you have done for us, that you've already won the victory on the cross. May we trust in you and persevere to the end. Amen. Well, we're going to stand and sing a song of praise to our wonderful Saviour. As the musicians come up, let me say that after the service, the prayer team will be at the front as usual. If there's something you would like to pray about with somebody, there's a great opportunity. Come and speak to somebody in the prayer team and pray with them, or somebody else you know who's following Jesus. And let's see the Lord Jesus Christ honoured in our response to him. Sing again. Let's stand and sing.
And drenched in tears, they laid him down.